The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. But before I get to The Big Lead, I wanted to mention a passing from a giant in our industry. And it's kind of a personal, not personal, but I just talked about Larry King last week and how when I was 17 years old and I was on the brink of being able to vote for the first time in my life, and I was working as a busboy at, it was called the World Trade Center down on the Seattle waterfront, and I would listen. I'd get off at 1 or 2 a.m., and I'd listen to Larry King, and he would have on sports stars and political, not just luminaries, but also fringe people. And it was like the first time that I started to contemplate a world a little bit bigger than what I had experienced and what I knew. And I guess that kind of planted the seeds for me thinking, I wouldn't mind doing this for a living. I wouldn't mind having a talk show. And I listened to Larry King pretty religiously. That's when I started my horrible habit that my wife of 31 years still puts up with. And that's why I had to listen to the radio while I was falling asleep, and the radio would stay on at night. And I've made the switch to earbuds, but now there's flashing television in the middle of the night. My wife's a saint. That's the bottom line here. But that's when it all started. I would fall asleep listening to Larry King show. And then about, I don't know, a year or two later, I started listening to a show that was on Cairo Radio when we were, or when Cairo, because I wasn't part of Cairo back then. Cairo was 7:10 a.m., just like our sports station now. And they had a show on at 10, 11, midnight, 1 a.m., called TalkNet. And it was hosted by a guy named Bruce Williams. And Bruce Williams just seemed like the smartest guy in the world. He had worked every job. He had owned clubs and restaurants. He had been in politics. He owned other businesses. And the thing that made an impression on me, because remember, I grew up with a very much a dependency message and lifestyle. And that's when I started to hear this message that you can take care of yourself. And one of the things that Bruce was, he had this standing bet, and he dared anybody to take him up on it. He said, you can put me anywhere in the country, give me $1,000 seed money and a pickup truck, and I will make at least $50,000 a year. Now, understand, it's about 81, maybe 82. That'd be like $150,000 today. He said, I'll just hustle, I'll outwork, and I'll make $50,000 a year with a pickup truck and $1,000 to get started. Nobody ever took him up on it. But I kept listening to his show. I went and saw him once at the Paramount. And as far as national figures, Larry King and Bruce Williams were the two guys that made me think that I'd like to get into talk radio someday. Because up until then, I thought I was going to, be in the world of sports and do something in sport. But I was just fascinated. Plus, the other thing about Bruce Williams is he just talked real matter-of-factly to people. And for me, since I never had a dad around, it was fatherly. It was like listening to the kind of advice a dad would give a kid. It was the kind of advice I had never heard in my life. Bruce Williams passed away at the age of 86. And I just pulled you a couple of clips here. Maybe I did this more for me than for you. First of all, Nicole, I'm thinking we gotta steal the show intro, the music jingle, and just modify it for our show.
We'll talk about that.
Someone to talk to, something to share. Come on. Someone to talk to, someone to share? That's me.
Someone you know who will always be there. Tune in, turn on.
Dory. Tune in, turn on Dory. Why? Because I care. Isn't that perfect? We just have to hire a group of singers and substitute Dory for TalkNet.
I think we'd get in trouble.
Oh, heck.
I'm sure it.
No, everybody associated with traditional radio in the 80s is dead.
Hello there. How are you? I'm delighted you're here. I'm Bruce Williams. Welcome. Welcome to my world. Welcome to TalkNet. TalkNet is the nation's, well, the continent's backyard. That's true, because anywhere in North America, you can call me simply by dialing 800-TALKNET. 800, the digits if you choose, 825-5638. What do? We talk about you. Yeah, the things you're into, the things you've done well, things you're stumbling on, and maybe, just maybe, smooth out a rough edge or two. Let's get it on. I'm Bruce Williams. This is TalkNet.
Oh, man. I mean, that takes me back. I'm driving in my Plymouth Duster. I'm just dreaming about getting into the biz. And as an added bonus, like I said, it was like the dad I never had, just giving advice. And he did seem to know about everything. There were like hours of Bruce when I heard about his passing this morning. I just went on YouTube and there were hours. I just pulled. Here's one guy who went bankrupt. And of course, Bruce Williams immediately knew everything about it.
Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, home of Shippensburg State.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Well, I got a question for you on a bankruptcy law.
Talk to me.
All right. It's a terrible thing to do, but I did that. I filed a bankruptcy mainly because I was stuck.
Chapter 7?
Yeah, complete.
Absolute bankruptcy, all right.
All right. All right, now.
I wouldn't know where to ask that question. I don't know the difference between the types of bankruptcy. You seem to know all this stuff.
I am still receiving bills from certain creditors, and we've tried to notify them, even though that's up to the bankruptcy court to do that.
Wait a while. Are these creditors who you named, and so the debts were discharged specifically?
Right.
Just send them a copy to discharge, that's all.
Okay.
That's
well,
it.
I've done that.
That's all you got to do. Forget about it.
Well, I've had one turn me into a credit bureau for collection.
What kind of a company? Was it a private little merchant, or was somebody a big company?
I'd say a private little merchant.
Well, see, he wouldn't have known any better. The big company knows better.
Well, I mean, they've been notified. I know.
But he just may not know any better. He may think he's still got a shot. You just send him a copy of the thing and tell him that this debt has been discharged by the courts and no longer exists. And you will urge him to discuss this with his attorney because he has no right to pursue you any further.
Well, I've done all those things that you've said.
And
I got a notice the other day that he's turned me into a collection.
Well, go ahead. So tell the collection bureau they understand that.
Yeah.
And they are not going to waste time on an uncollectible bill. Just send them a copy of the discharge and say, this guy doesn't know what he's doing or something of that kind.
Oh. Okay, maybe that would be the best route to go.
How much money is involved in this particular?
I think $200.
You know. Just send the company and you did name him in the bankruptcy.
Oh, yeah.
And just send the collection agency a photocopy of the discharge, and they won't bother you again.
Okay.
Take good care.
All right, thank you.
Rebuild your life. I'm Bruce Williams. This is TalkNet.
That was 2 minutes. That was a 2-minute-long phone call. He found out what type of bankruptcy. He knew everything. I don't know any of that stuff. You know, I've lived a little life now, but I wouldn't be able to cut to the chase of the type of bankruptcy and the type of vendor we're dealing with and how to deal with it. So anyway, I was captivated by this when I was a kid. And that he was one of the guys that truly made me want to do this for a living. And so he was on the air for 39 years, which at the time for nationally syndicated was a record. And then he kept doing a podcast until he was 81 years old. And then he wrapped that up about 5 years ago. And so now at the age of 86, one of the giants of the radio industry, Bruce Williams, has passed away. So I just wanted to mention that because I grew wistful once again as I heard about that earlier today. With that as mere prelude, let's get to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
Something incredible has just happened in California. California, which is about as crazy as Washington politically, about as radical, as greedy in their insatiable desire for your taxes. California has been planning for a long, long time a high-speed rail line from northern part of the state down to Bakersfield. The latest estimates pin the cost at $77 billion, more than double what they had been estimating. The far-left governor of California in the last hour or so, Gavin Newsom, announced he is suspending all efforts to build high-speed rail between San Francisco and Los Angeles. Why? Because it's too costly. I didn't know that politicians on the left, I didn't know that too costly were words in their vocabulary. But the governor of California has just announced he is suspending it. Why is that so remarkable? Because Jay Inslee, here in Washington, is pursuing high-speed rail between Vancouver, BC, and Portland. And he says, oh, this will be great for our region.
This is exciting. It's exciting anytime you can create a long-term vision that's going to help your communities grow.
Which, by the way, high-speed rail will do nothing. It'll cost far more to take the train from Seattle to Portland than it costs to fly. It would be much more infrequent, and it would be slower. So, it is inferior to air travel in every single way, and that has been Governor Inslee's dream for years now.
And there are very few things that we can do to display our mutual optimism and our mutual can-do spirit than to invest in this high-speed corridor from Portland to Seattle to Vancouver. And the reason is that when you look at this beautiful city, you see the future that can only be magnified by a connection to Seattle to Portland.
He's doing this in BC, in Vancouver, with the premier of BC.
And when you build a high-speed rail line, you are building a monument to optimism.
Okay. A monument to optimism. No, it's a testament to failure, Governor. And even far-left wacko California has this afternoon abandoned its effort for high-speed rail. Now, and I told you, the only thing I feared about the California high-speed rail is that it would bump Sound Transit from the most criminally corrupt public enterprise in the history of the United States. I thought the California high-speed rail would bump Sound Transit to number two. But with the governor's announcement in California this afternoon, Sound Transit will remain, for the foreseeable future, the most criminally corrupt, wasteful public agency in the history of the United States. The only possible threat on the horizon to Sound Transit in that category is if Inslee keeps pursuing high-speed rail between Vancouver, BC, and Portland. Up next in the big lead.
The big lead. Top trending.
Hey, how about that Donald Trump? I don't know if you've heard about this. He was elected president about a year and a half ago. And so Donald Trump's the president of the whole country now. And last night, he went down to El Paso to have a rally. And there's this compromise plan. Republicans are very upset because Trump wanted more than $5 billion for a new barrier or wall or fence or whatever they're calling it today. And Trump says he may go for this compromise. It's going to get him $1.5 billion. So he went down to the border to rally the fans of
him. Time is just flying by with you and Trump. He's actually been president for over 2 years. But you said a year
you're
and
right.
a half.
No, you're right. He was elected in November of 16. He was inaugurated in January of 17. That's more than 2 years ago?
Yeah, it's flying by.
Wait a second. So his two terms are almost are more than a quarter over. That's scary. So he was down in El Paso, and he talked about Jay Inslee, who has signed on to this Green New Deal of AOC. He didn't talk about Inslee specifically, but he talked about the insanity of the socialist Green Deal.
They introduced a massive government takeover that would destroy our incredible economic gains. They introduced the so-called Green New Deal. It sounds like a high school term paper that got a low mark. It would shut down American energy, which I don't think the people in Texas are going to be happy with that. It would shut down a little thing called air travel. How do you take a train to Europe? You know, this crazy senator from Hawaii.
By the way, the way you take a plane to Europe and Hawaii without carbon fossil fuels is go back to the propeller planes, and then the little spinny propeller, it'll be like the wind generators that are out there in the middle of nowhere. The airplane will just be its own wind generator. They can fly that way. That's the kind of mentality of the Green New Deal crowd.
They said, do you like it? Yes, I like it very much. Oh, really? How are we getting to Hawaii on a train? She didn't think about that one, but she's thinking about it. She'll figure it out. They want to take away your car, reduce the value of your home, and put millions of Americans out of work, spend $100 trillion, which, by the way, there's no such thing as $100 trillion. You have to spend...
By the way, everything he's saying is true. That is everything that was in this document that Inslee has signed on to. Yep. So, you know, I'm out of time here. I wanted to play a little more of Trump. But tell you what, we'll bump some Trump to awesome audio in just a couple of minutes. That is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you, and then the Prez might make another appearance when we get to our awesome audio clips of the day coming up next. Hope you're staying safe out there. This was the toughest commute day for me, but it was only getting out of my driveway.
I was going to say the roads were better than they have been the whole week. But
yeah, the roads were fine, and there was nobody out there this morning. It was empty.
Totally empty.
I'm hoping the afternoon commute will be like that. But I do have three cars stuck sideways in my driveway. I finally had to borrow my youngest daughter's vehicle because she was parked at the top of my driveway, nose out.
Which now you know, you should always park your car at the top, maybe on the side of the street.
I'll always get here. Just don't you worry, Hal. I'll always be here for you, meaning the listener. I didn't say that to Nicole. That'd be creepy. Okay, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
At number three, okay, I said I'd play a little bit more from Trump's rally in El Paso last night. He said that Elizabeth Warren is sending him some letters now and has been trying to negotiate with him. But I tell you, he has figured out the way to defuse the whole Elizabeth Warren thing.
Number three.
79 different letters from different committees.
How are you going to respond to these letters?
Well, for the most part, they're conflicted.
I got one from
Pocahontas today where it said that Donald Trump, we want to investigate some company that it's so disgraceful. I said, just write her back, say she's got a conflict of interest, okay? And she should focus more on her heritage and not being ashamed of what she is. She should really focus on herself. But we've gotten letters, Laura, from so many committees.
She deserves everything that is thrown at her for being such a phony for decades now. If I pretend to be an American Indian, which is the ethnicity she claimed, maybe I can climb the ladder a little bit faster. She deserves that. And yes, I find it hilarious. Okay, at number two, I found this pretty hilarious too. Kamala Harris, one of the Democratic front runners for 2020. She went on The Breakfast Club, wildly popular show in New York City, and I think they're syndicated beyond. African-American hosts, a predominantly African-American audience, and Kamala Harris, she decided the way to really connect would be to tell a blatant, provable lie.
Number two.
Have you ever smoked?
I have.
Okay.
And I inhale. I did inhale. It was a long time ago. But yes.
I know you have to go. They say you have to go. I just
broke loose.
I mean, were they in college? Uh-huh. See, I like stuff like that. That's a real honest answer. Was it a blunt or joint?
It was a joint.
Hey.
Yeah.
You remember the high?
I do.
So if it was legalized all throughout the country, and medicinal, would you, you know, do it?
Listen, I think that it gives a lot of people joy, and we need more joy.
What does Kamala Harris listen to?
What were you listening to when you was high? What was on? What song was it?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, definitely Snoop. Uh-huh. Tupac. For sure.
Except it's a lie. Because Kamala Harris graduated, she says she smoked in college, and that's when she listened to Tupac and Snoop. She graduated, or she got her undergrad degree in 1986. She got her law degree in 1989. Tupac's first album came out in 1991, and Snoop's first album came out in 1993. So, it's a lie. But way to connect with your audience there, Kamala. And finally, an awesome audio. This one is actually infuriating and pathetic. I led the show with this at noon today. Go check it out on the podcast. But Jay Inslee, yesterday talking about the snowstorm that hit. And I could not believe what he did with this news.
Number one.
I want to say something, too, and I hope it's not too off topic, but I have to say it. When I think of our community that has homeless people who actually, one of whom lost their life to exposure, and realize that we don't have a system to handle this problem in the state, it kind of drives me nuts, given the wealth that exists in the state of Washington. And I just want to note that, because today in the legislature we have a proposal to have a tax system on really high income people that in part will help deal with this. And I know when I talk to legislators, I'm going to remind them of that.
Yeah, I got to pause it. The tax proposal in the legislature that Jay Inslee is talking about is for a state income tax. Now, they're calling it a capital gains tax, but as I've proven irrefutably, that is a state income tax. And so Jay Inslee used the death of a homeless person in the snow to pitch a state income tax, which is patently against our state constitution. And as I said a couple of hours ago, you know, are they delighted when they hear about somebody dying in the snow and thinking, how can we use this for our political gain? It makes me sick to my stomach.
In the legislature, we have a proposal to have a tax system on really high income people that in part will help deal with this. And I know when I talk to legislators, I'm going to remind them of that, that when a state that has this enormous pockets of wealth, to have a system where we can take care of homeless people and they're not dying of exposure, I hope that's a lesson we take from this snowstorm this year.
And as I've told you many, many times, homeless people, the chronic homeless, the vast majority turn down all services. We already spend $100,000 per homeless person per year in Seattle and King County. And no amount of money is going to change the fact that some people have sadly made that their lifestyle of choice, to use the death of a homeless man to pitch for an unconstitutional state income tax is as shameless as a politician gets. Those are all of our favorite sound bites of the day. And coming up next, we'll tell you what is today's sign.
Those are Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day on 97.3 Cairo FM.
Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. If you have been snowed in the last couple of days, I'm glad you're still hanging out with us in the afternoons. You know, since we're making such a Herculean effort to get in here and do the radio show, for crying out loud, the least you could do is listen, which you're doing right now, and I know that because you can hear this. Because if you couldn't hear this, you wouldn't be listening. That made perfect sense in my head, anyway. Before I get out of here and make my slushy way home, it is time for today's edition of
Today's Sign That the End Is Near.
Today's sign: the world is soon coming to an end. I love this first story. A grocery store owner in Alexandria, Louisiana, is under fire because of a controversial coupon mailer that he sent out. It's Max Fresh Market. And the owner of the store says, really, I'm not a racist, because on the mailer, it says, heaven has a wall, a gate, and a strict immigration policy. Hell has open borders. Let that sink in. And of course, he immediately got blasted. People spread the picture of his mailer far and wide via social media. They called it disgusting. Is that disgusting? Or is it true? I mean, it's just so funny that people would call what is pretty basic Christian biblical doctrine is disgusting because somebody dared put it in a coupon mailer. One of the people, nice, ridiculous political message. I guess y'all don't have foreigners in your heaven. Disgusting. Which, of course, had absolutely nothing to do. Another on Twitter, Christian values? What does this mean, sir? I'm so confused. You have millions of people from every walk of life who support this business. Okay, first of all, I don't think the Max Fresh Market in Alexandria, Louisiana, has millions of people supporting his business. Back to the tweet. If a Christian would conduct themselves like this, I'd hate to encounter a signer. I think they left out an N. Meant to say sinner. Shame on you, Max. Shame. God said thou shall not judge. And it just goes on. There were just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of messages. The owner of Max Fresh Market, Reggie McDaniel, he said, I just wanted to share my faith with other people. If I used a political message, and I'm very aware it's political, to highlight Jesus Christ, then I'm guilty of it. That's my meaning of the whole thing, is people are prepared to go to heaven or they're not. I thought it was a perfect time because everybody's talking about the border. Some people want it. Some don't want us to have one. The only thing I was shocked about was the accusation that it was racist. I've never in my life been accused of being a racist. I'm 70 years old. I haven't evolved into one. So good for him. Good, fun way to make a good point. Today's sign story number two. It's kind of a double shot within number two. A British woman has been arrested for identifying the gender of a transgender attorney. Now, this is what's going to happen in the United States. Jazz Shaw, who's a terrific columnist, he wrote this. If you let the social justice warriors in the Democratic Party take complete control over government, take a look at what's going on in Great Britain today. Kate Scottow, a mother of two, she got in an online spat with Stephanie Hayden, a male attorney who identifies as a woman. And during that spat online, Scottow referred to Hayden as a man and used male pronouns in reference. Well, what happened next, as Jazz Shaw writes, could have been ripped from the pages of a dystopian fiction novel. The police arrived at Scottow's home, arrested her in front of her two children, took her to the station house and locked her up for 7 hours. Police have refused to return her phone and her laptop as they continue to sift through her social media postings. They said that the crime for which she was arrested, malicious communication. That's where we're at now. Malicious communication can get you arrested because of social justice activism. Meanwhile, a Canadian blogger is suing Twitter. Twitter contacted Megan Murphy, a gender politics blogger, and said, you got to pull down some of your old tweets. And in those tweets, Ms. Murphy said that one of them was, how are trans women not men? What's the difference between a man and a trans woman? And the other tweet said, men are not women. That was it. That was the entire tweet. Men are not women. Now, I would say that that's pretty much factually correct. Men are not women, and women are not men. But it can get you banned permanently from Twitter for saying men are not women? So she's suing now. She says that Twitter's policy, first of all, it's clearly just skewed far to the left. And she said it's also an infringement on free speech. She said if an individual wants to identify as another gender, they can. But she said, but if I want to identify them as their biological gender, I have the free speech right to do that. But she gets banned from Twitter for that. You want one more? Okay. A vegan bride-to-be has banned any meat-eating family members from attending her wedding.
Eat steak, eat steak, eat a big old steer. Eat steak, eat steak, maybe have one beer. Beep, 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 it's a mighty good food. It's a great day for you when I really love you.
The bride-to-be went on Reddit and said she's being guilt-tripped into inviting some omnivores to her fully vegan wedding. She wrote, just for some context, some family members were told they are not invited to my wedding because we don't want to host murderers. Our wedding is supposed to be one of the happiest days of our lives. So she's one of those vegans. Everybody who eats meat is a murderer. You can invite them to your wedding. You can have a vegan wedding. But no, she doesn't even want them in her presence because they are murderers. This could only happen in Trump's America. And that is today's sign, the end is near. I got to get out of here. I have simply said everything that I have to say for today. I'll go home, look at the melting snow, and think up a bunch of great new stuff for tomorrow's Wednesday extravaganza. Stay safe, because I need you. Stay safe, and we'll keep you posted on all the traffic during the Candy Mike and Todd Show, which is coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Head up.
Sizzles up a fire, but the medium rare. Barbecue is brisket,
roasted in rock, fed my dog. He's a genius. He's like a god who knows what we want.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.